Didn't give it a whole lot of thought. I'd been there twice before on a works mission trip doing physical work with Stephen and students, and that's something totally out of my realm. But then as I thought about it and prayed about it, it seemed to make more sense. And then when I got thinking back this past year, what happened this year that would cause me to even consider doing something like this? Back in March, Greg Stoffergen and I went to Florida, and we worked with Wycliffe Associates, and we learned how to study the Bible and write Bible verses for translation for foreign translators. And during that session, we learned a lot about the English language, figures of speech and idioms and how to translate things. And I thought, ooh, maybe the Lord is trying to send me a message here that I could use that training over in Ukraine. So that's how this kind of kicked off for me. And for Al, he's done a lot of trips to Africa, Central America. He's been to Ecuador. So he's been on many mission trips before. I've been on four of them in the past before this one. So we both have had experience in different countries. But doing this English club, this is something totally outside of our comfort zone. But anyhow, just to give you a little idea, this was the brochure that was sent out. 5,000 of these were sent out to university students in Dnipropetrovsk. And they had no idea what kind of response they would get. So eventually, like 120 kids came forward. And our first Monday night there, we got to interview all these university students. Because they had kind of be qualified for it to even do it, because some, for whatever reason, they wouldn't have been qualified based on their answers. So we interviewed each student for, 15, 20 minutes maybe, and then the full-time team at CRU, Campus Crusade, they decided which ones would be the best qualified, and eventually it got whittled down to 80 students. So that's how the English club came to be. They had done several clubs before in different cities in Ukraine, in Odessa, in Kiev, in Lviv, different cities around the country, and I think they had done one previous one here in Dnipropetrovsk. But they had shared with us that that one didn't go so well. They had a couple Americans that were very shy and very unassuming, and they didn't want to take the bull by the horns. That's an idiom. But anyhow, they didn't really want to do what the team wanted them to do, so then the team there had to do a lot of the teaching and training, so it kind of backfired a little bit. So they were a little hesitant to do another one, but then Al and I came over there and things improved a little bit. Something funny I got to share with you. I got this book before I left. It's called The Easy Russian Phrase Book. Don't believe it. Right, Paul? Stephen? Yeah, that's a misnomer. You have to really work at it. Oh, I have to show you one thing before I get Al up here. One of the students was an artist. He had showed us some of his cartoons he had drawn, and they were beautiful. I mean, they looked like professional drawings. So like 2 days later, he made a picture of me and Al. I'm going to pass this around because it's kind of funny. He even got the hair right. So I'll pass it around. But Al's got one, too. I'm sure he's got a frame by now. So, Al, where are you? Okay, why don't you come up and give your spiel, and then we'll go through some of the pictures. And Al and I got along pretty well for being two really different guys.
Do I have to use this?
It's better, yeah.
Can you hear me without it?
I actually have notes this morning.
Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's work. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to perform good works which He has planned in advance for us to do. Think about that. You know, I've done many, many missions trips for the last 18 years, and every one of them, I'm a builder or a farmer planting garden seed, but I was always very physical, laying block, buildings. And most of you know that this past year I had rotator cuff surgery. So that incapacitates you real quick. What's amazing is that God had a plan to utilize that hazard or problem that I had and still allow me to serve him in a capacity in Ukraine. I knew nothing about it. You know, I'm planning a week from today I'll be going to Nicaragua. I'll be laying block again. The arm's working good and so everything is fine. But he used Xenia and contacted me and wanted to know, do we want to do this English club? I mean, this is way out for me. I can build a building and I can do a lot of things along in construction and farming and that, but to teach young people English. And so Dennis and I went and we did not have any idea what to expect. But God had a plan and we trusted him. And I believe that Dennis and I came back more blessed than the students that we taught. And I want to take you to an English club, and that's why I have the notes. I can't remember every day and every lesson, but I want to take you there as if you were my students. And I had 36 of those 80 students in a beginning class. Dennis had the intermediate class, and then we had another missionary who's full-time there. His name is Joe. He taught the advanced class. Every day we met with Vera, and Vera is on the crew team there, and she would basically what she would like us to present to the students. And the first third of we had about a 2.5 to 3 hour period, and the first third of that time was an icebreaker. We would play games. They'd put Dennis and I up there as idiots, so to speak, and we were the Americans, and Joe would be with us sometime, and they would have us compete with the Ukrainian students. Yeah, they blindfold you and put food in your mouth, and you would have to describe it to somebody else, or they'd play songs. And, I tasted some things like condensed milk, you know, and I had to figure this out. But it was an icebreaker, you know, to get the students involved. They played songs. I've never heard of them. Dennis, you were pretty good at them. Joe was real good. But I just don't listen to music, so I was not much of an asset to the team there. But the next third of the hour was English, and it was conversational English. Most of the students have taken English at the university, and they can write English. They can write grammar, but conversational English with a Russian instructor, no, it doesn't work. And, of course, our language is full of idioms. And I remember each of us had an interpreter. And the one that I had three different interpreters over a two-week period, they were excellent. But I used the term raining cats and dogs one day, and my interpreter just sort of looked at me, what? What does that mean? But Dennis and I, we do use idioms, and it's not proper English as that. So that third of the time, and my approach, and I believe Dennis also, is we got the students involved. It wasn't just us saying something and they would say it. We actually had the students get up and practice speaking to other students. My name is, my college or my university major is. One time we were on each night we had a topic. One was travel, one was leadership, one was family. My grandmother's name is, my grandmother is married to my grandfather, and his name is, and they would, and then we would go around and listen and correct and do that. The most reward, this was good, don't get me wrong, we had a lot of fun with that, but the third of the class each night was spiritual. Now, if you can imagine a class of 80 do not know who Jesus is. Most of them, I don't believe Jesus is in their vocabulary. Would you agree to that? Most of them do not know what a Bible is. A few, don't get me wrong, there were a few Christians there, and some have read the Bible, but they consider themselves Christians because they go to the Russian Orthodox Church on Easter. And the Russian Orthodox Church is nothing more than a political arm of the Soviet or former Soviet Union. So here we have, you have a group of students, and our primary goal was to come across, not only teach English, but also be a witness. I don't sit there and share the gospel message with you if you don't even know who Christ is or know nothing about the Bible or have none of it. Comprehension. And this is where Campus Crusade, we were blessed working with that group of people, young people. They have a regular program, and they eased it. And that first night, I forget the exact topic that we had, but it was more get acquainted.
Creation.
Pardon?
Creation.
Yeah, create. Okay. And we shared a little bit back and forth, but most of the time was spent on them getting to know us also. We shared a little bit about our background and that. And I remember the question and the emphasis that night, and it sort of set the tone for the next 2 weeks. One of the students asked me, why did you come to the Ukraine? And it put me on a spot. And why was I there? I've never been there. I knew God, the Holy Spirit, was speaking to me to go, but that student brought it right up, right point blank, and the whole class is there. Why are you here? And I think about it. You know, I can't tell them I'm there to share Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? But the Holy Spirit put the words in my mouth, or the idea in my brain. I'm here to get you to think about that. Think about it. We're going to pose questions to you over the next 2 weeks. And we want you to think about it. I don't want you to believe just because I believe. I don't want you to follow my footsteps just because I say that's the right way. But I want to raise questions in your mind. You are college students. I want you to think things through. You're going to have alternatives. And that theme followed every night. And I want to give you just... I'm not going to go through every lesson here. I want to give you, say, 6-7 nights, and I'm going to give you the main topic or the main thought-provoking question. And you can see how Campus Crusade leads up to Jesus Christ. And the first lesson, actually, on the second night was seeking the meaning of life. Seeking the meaning of life. Even for you today, sitting here, what is the meaning of life? Why are you here? And think about it. See, and this is where I could hit the students with this. Think about it. Continue to think about it. Why are you here? What is the purpose? Did you just evolve? Your mother. Father got together and they had a child and you're here. What happens? What's the purpose? The next one was different world views, another night. I'm not going to answer these for you. But as college students, it got them thinking. And you know, the first couple of nights, one or two students would come up to me after class. I think the same with Dennis. We'd have one or two, might have a question. The creation one. And then Adam were part of that. In my homework assignment for the students, we had some fun times too with them. The homework assignment, they had some questions in class, and I said, okay, your homework for tonight is, did Adam have a belly button? And they looked at me, you know, like you're laughing. They look at me. But see, the whole idea is don't get up there and lecture and say, this is what you must believe. This is where you're going. I want you to think about it. Because if you think about whether Adam had a belly button or not, you're going to think about creation and what evolved. World views. You know, it made me think when I got the lesson. Dennis and I, we'd sit and talk about it. After meeting with Vera, we'd have lunch with Vera, and then in the afternoon we had a couple hours there of free time, and we'd hash things back and forth. But worldview, what's a worldview? You know, well, worldviews basically follow atheism, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, if I can remember them all, Hinduism, and humanism. I guess those were the main ones. And I had this one. And I go through and I explain this to them, what each one was. And I had a look that I forget what humanism, I think, or one of them. And we were a little confused on Buddha and Hindu. But I liked that because I could ask the students, what do you believe? What's your view about life? Not why you're here. That was last night. Now tonight we're talking about what's your world view on things. And we'd get, you know, as soon as you get interaction with students going back and forth, they're thinking, they're asking questions, they have to answer in English. Okay. This was the challenge. You know, you'd ask a question, so the answers came back fairly simple, and I needed simple answers, simple reply. Believe me, I needed it. And my interpreter needed it. I had fun with, I believe it's Hinduism, believes that you come back as a cow or an animal. And, of course, that built on the rest of the next 2 weeks also, is because we would ask questions later on, what happens to you when you die? You want to come back as a cow? You know? Well, what happens when a cow dies? You know, and I'd get them to think. See? And then the students would think. And you could see it. When you have a class of students, they're not falling asleep. These kids are sharp. These are some of the sharpest students. I've taught college for 12 years here in the States, and I would have loved to have that class back here. You know, they were great. Next question, another night after Worldviews. Can we trust the Bible? Can we trust the Bible? And you know, most of them have never read the Bible. Then we I forgot to interject here. Campus Crusade each night had a video, typically a 3 to 5 minute video, that sometimes would use characters or cartoons, but it would emphasize the point. And it talked about the Bible. The video, we played the video first, and the Bible is talking about the longest, best-selling book ever. You know, how many are given out every day around the world, written by so many different authors, different books. And these kids are, they're absorbing this. But can you trust it? You know, what did you hear about? What are some interesting facts about the Bible? And then we led into, you know, the prophecy from the Old Testament. Most of it's come true. And you take that Old Testament prophecy of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, things like this, it's come true. And we're still living out prophecy. He's coming back. We didn't get into that, but, you know, it was part of the lesson. Another one here, another night was, are you a good person? I love this one. This was a great one. Are you a good person? You're my college student. And most of us say, we're good, aren't we? And we played this 3 minute video. It had a man walking along, he's strutting, and all of a sudden this booming voice comes out of the sky. He said, did you steal candy when you were a child? And the good person says, you know, he's strutting along saying, I'm a good person, I'm a good person. And he says, yeah, I guess I did steal candy when I was a kid. And the voice would say, well, now you're a liar and you're a thief. You know? And you should have seen those kids. Now, we saw that video earlier. Dennis had it on his on the phone there, and we watched it. So I had time then to look at the how were they responding? You know, and then said, what about the neighbor's wife? You know, the guy, good neighbor's wife. And as soon as he mentioned the neighbor's wife, his eyes fell out, his tongue got real long. Wow, you know, wow, whoa, you know. And, you know, they're leading up to adultery. And they go into all 10 commandments. The adultery one was good. It's good because I don't know how many of the young people there were living with another person sex, because the door, that was pretty freestyle. And one student asked me, so what about the fact that I'm living with my girlfriend? Planned this whole thing. I would never have asked that question because I'm in a strange country, strange people, and I really don't understand their culture. But this one student asked that question, and that just opened up the door. You know? And we were able to talk about adultery and openly. And I'm not going to go into a lot of details there, but I said, you know, if you are God's creation, which is in Ephesians, I can't quote that, but you are God's creation, what makes you think God would create you? Did he create that sex drive in a man and a woman? Yes, he did. But he gave us rules. And one of them is, thou shalt not commit adultery. And it was a subtle way of coming around it, and I answered his question. I never said, no, it's wrong. But the students came away. Now that night, I had more than two students come up and talk to me. There were 8 or 10 of them. Just a couple more here now. Then we want to show you some slides. Life after death. Is there life after death? And here Dennis and I used, about a year ago at this time, we saw a YouTube deal where the guy got up on stage and had a long rope, and a foot on the end of the rope was painted red. We went out and bought some clothesline, painted red on the end, and we used that. I had a rope from here to the stairway back there, coming through our classroom, wound it all the way up before I got up there. And the whole night, I held that rope up. Here's your life. Here's when you were born. Here's when you die. There's the rest of your life, the rope. And the illustration on the YouTube, they ate it up. I mean, that night again, 10, 12 kids would come up. What do you mean life after death? Question. And the last one, the good news about Jesus Christ. And that was our last lesson. And we shared that with the students. See how we built? God had a plan. God used Dennis and I. And I think it was a great opportunity. And I would encourage, if there's ever another English club and somebody asks you to go, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Now, we asked several other men to go here. We couldn't get the third guy. We did have one third man, but his health was not good. We could have used the third guy. We would see. So, you know, the next time Zenya, you know, emails Paul or myself or somebody and say, hey, we need three guys for an English club or three people, whatever, volunteer. You're going to come away blessed far greater than the blessing that we bestowed upon others. Dennis, show them the flicks and let them see firsthand what it is.
This is what you've been waiting for, you know.
Maybe I'll stay up here.
Okay, so this is where our trip started. This is in Kiev. This gal is Masha, and she works with Gru in Kiev. So that's not the city we ministered in. But she met us there, and we had a few hours for our flight. So she visited with us, and we said, well, you know, if you get bored talking to two old Americans, just go home. She says, no, I'm enjoying this. Because she was practicing her English also. She is a volunteer right now, but her goal is to sometime be a full-time crew employee also. So that's Masha.
At the airport?
That's right in the airport, yep. Okay, and this is where we met the team the first time. That was in Dnipropetrovsk. And they had this bread for us. That's a special Ukrainian bread that they only do on very special occasions. So they brought that to our meeting place there. They actually had this ready the night before at the airport. We were supposed to get in Sunday night at 8:30, and we were flying to Dnipro, and we got turned around because the fog was in Dnipro, so we had to turn around and fly back to Kiev. So then we got to bed late that night. We got about 2.5 hours sleep, and then we flew back in the morning at 4:30 and got to Dnipro about 5:30 in the morning. And then we met the team at noon, and that's where they had the spread, and we met the team.
The interesting thing is the airport, they announced to us why they had to fly back is because they didn't have enough fuel.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I've ever been in a jet where they didn't have enough fuel.
Yeah, so that was a little disconcerting, but I said, no, definitely go back. Don't go hovering. But we knew you guys are praying, so it worked out well. So these are team members. Valerie here, Valeria, she's the one that did the training each day. We meet with her from like 12 till 1:30, 2 o'clock, and she'd give us a lesson plan for each night. And then we had a few hours to look it over, add her own comments, look up verses or whatever. But she was a main trainer. And then Jenya, you met him, he's been here. And
Eliso.
Ellison, yeah, Ellison. So they're all full-time crew workers. And then you see the other one, Losha, Ira, and Irna. So there's basically six full-time crew workers in Negro Patrols. So that's their team. And this is the first English club that this team has put on. So it was an experiment for them also. And that's the whole team that first day we met. Okay, now this is where we started that first Monday night where the students came to be interviewed. So Al had a table, I had a table, and then we interviewed the students with the crew staff.
You wonder why we wear coats most of the time. None of the public buildings have any heat. The Russians have raised the price of gas 5 times in the last year. So every public building we went into, except restaurants and shopping places, they had heat. But every place else, there's no heat.
And in the winter, it gets really cold.
Oh, how do I stop this? All right, and then what we do each day, we try to spend time with the students. So most of the time is around food. So they pick us up at noon, and we either walk or take a bus or a tram or something to some restaurant. So this is one where we went one of the first nights and had a meal with them. And it's amazing when you sit in the restaurant, all of a sudden you hear American music playing in English. I mean, most of the restaurants you go to, they love America, they love English, and they're trying to learn it. You're saying, well, why is it important for them to learn English to get a job? Because they have to be bilingual to do most jobs over there. And English is a big part of it. So that's why it's a real blessing for them if they can learn English.
What?
Yes?
Can I ask a question? What restaurants are you in? I'm looking at that placemat that says Real American Barbecue on it.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. They try to duplicate a lot of stuff we do in America. And that's part of it. That one was, do you remember the name of that restaurant? Mm.
We only ate there. The service was real slow.
Yeah.
The first
yeah, it was it took a long time to get the food. Had to catch the
that's
cow.
French onion soup on me. I did have hamburgers. I'm a safer.
Okay, and then a lot of times you just walk around the city. It's a city of a million people, so it's not just a little burg. It's one of the biggest cities in Ukraine. It's about the third largest city outside of Kiev. And that was on the American party night, that Friday night. Oh, this is kind of a funny story. This gal was in the kitchen right downstairs from where we stayed. We stayed at a Baptist church. And we were on the second floor, and then right below us was the kitchen. So I'd go down there every day. I would make a huge breakfast.
Not really.
We'd have cold cereal and banana and orange, and he always made coffee, so that was nice. We had good African coffee. But anyhow, I'd go down there and wash the dishes. And these ladies would be in there. There were three ladies, and they're getting ready for a big wedding that was coming up that weekend. And then I'd do the dishes, and I'd be talking to them a little bit, as little Russian as I knew. And then after about the second day, this one lady says, sit. She gave me a bowl of borscht. So, and it was freshly made, really good soup. So every day I'd go down there, then I'd eat cookies and other things. And we got some good friends. So this is Oksana. And that's Ala, and then there's another in Luba. Okay, and this is just to show you some of the buildings in the city. They have a lot of newer type buildings like this, but then there's a lot of really, really old ones too. But what this city is kind of famous for, they tear down their old ones that are 500-600 years old, and they put up these new office buildings. They're trying to look more modern, but there's a lot of Russian influence yet. When you go to some cities like Kiev and Lviv and some of the other cities around there, they relish the old buildings, and they want to take them and take good care of them. But this city, they're not so much into that. They want to be more modern. That's something different about this city. And this city used to be a private city up until 1973. And in 1973, they opened up to the world. But this used to be a big site for making missiles and bombs and nuclear space stuff and all kinds of secret stuff. And it's still a big industrial city. There's a lot of smog when you go around. So I didn't do any running over there because the air was pretty thick. But yeah, it's a big industrial city. And this is one of our hikes. We went to the library this day because Al had to use the computer. So then some of the students, each day we had a different group of students that would go with us. And we'd talk with them and converse in English. And this is Igor and Yegor. I said, Igor? No, I'm Igor. Oh, okay. But we got to be good friends with them. Okay, and this is one of our modes of transportation. This is probably the bus that day, huh? Or was that the tram? I don't know. But anyhow, we did a lot of riding around the city, and it's pretty inexpensive, and it costs 15 cents to take this ride. And you can stand as long as you want. So we did a lot of different modes. It's like the old movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We did it all. Okay, now just around the city, just some of the sites they had there. A lot of parks in the city. So they, and that's like a missing museum there as they're doing some of the hikes. This is a war memorial because you know the big war going on the Eastern Front. This is like a mural of the first 100 people that got killed in that conflict. And up to this point, it's been over 6,000 have been killed. You don't hear a lot about that, but it was a very serious thing and it's still going on. And later on, we're going to share at the end how we went out to the front our last full day there.
You're probably wondering why I'm carrying that bag of coffee around. a student, her sister was a coffee lover, and she wanted to buy a bag, and I didn't sell it to her. I gave that bag of coffee to the student to give to her sister, who wants to now buy coffee, so I'm now going to export coffee. Yeah, I sell coffee wherever I go, you know.
He's always looking for the angle. But anyhow, this is a memorial that's in a big park there. You're saying, well, why are they fighting? Well, it started in Kiev. There were protests because there's a lot of pro-Russian people in Russia, especially eastern Ukraine, And there's a lot of people that are pro-Ukraine, or they side with the European, you know, side with and Western Europe and that type of thing. But the ones that are very pro-Russian, they were protesting in Kiev, and 100 people got killed that first time back in, I think it was October 2014. And that's where the big conflict started. And then that's when, in the eastern part, Putin sent troops over the eastern border, and they're still there now. And that's where all the fighting's been going on. Because he used the excuse that he was trying to save the pro-Russian people, but it was just an excuse to come into Ukraine. And at the same time, he took over Crimea, the southern port where all the ships are and the big port and everything, and he took that over. He just annexed it into Russia. So that's what this wall is about. And that's the American Party night. A lot of them had cowboy hats. It's really funny. It's like going back to the 1950s. They're more into the cowboys than all the other stuff. It's pretty funny. Okay, and that's the whole group, an American. They had the room decorated red, white, and blue that night. And that night, Al gave his testimony. That was the first Friday night. He gave his personal testimony, and that's the one we got to share in front of the whole group. But like Al said, each night they'd have crowd breakers and a lot of fun activities, videos. They had a karaoke dance thing up on the screen where you had to duplicate what the guy was doing. So all 80 of these students are up there dancing in this crowded room. And all of a sudden they said, we have three winners. I was one of them. Amazing. Al didn't do that one, though. I don't know. But yes, I won a major prize. It was a little Butterfinger candy bar. I gave it to somebody. But yeah, you didn't know I could dance, huh? Okay, so Al is giving this testimony. That is Zhenya there. Okay, and that's American. Then after the night, everybody wanted their picture taken. They're very big on getting selfies and pictures. So that is Lisa. She's one of the gals who went on hikes with and stuff. So another one that was in my class. And that's some of the leaders. I think that's supposed to be a funny picture. And that's another day of our hikes. It was cold. I mean, it got down in the 20s at night. And I wasn't really prepared for that because I looked ahead and I thought, oh, it's going to be in the 40s and 50s. No. So I wasn't really prepared for the cold. But we survived. But it's beautiful. I mean, it was, you know, fall days like that, so going through the parks and everything, it was a fun time to do it. A lot of museums. This is a market, a real typical, like a farmer's market, but it's indoor. But they have very nice produce, a lot of fruits and vegetables, so the food is very good, very fresh, and they had a lot of borscht and dumplings and all kinds of things. It was pretty nice. You chopped there, right? Yeah. Oh, and then the authentic Ukrainian singers. They were right in the market there. We do this every week, and they've been doing this for 30 years. Some of them look like they could be that old. But no, they just love to sing, and it's very Ukrainian. Yeah. Again, some of the buildings. And that's Zhenya and Lena and Daniel and Matthew. So he's a missionary family that heads up the crew team there. And he's coming here. He hopes to come here next May, maybe, someplace he wants to come back to the States. So hopefully we get to see him. And he'd like to bring his family, at least Lena, along. Okay, that's a Russian sauna. And yes, we do have shorts on. So. But he wanted to give us some, you know, experiences that were totally Russian-Ukrainian, so that's one thing we did. And we're drinking kvass. Remember that, Stephen? Kvass? Yeah, it's like a musky root beer type of drink. It's non-alcoholic. It's like root beer, but it doesn't taste like root beer. It looks like it, but it's got a real musky taste. It's actually made up of moldy bread. But that's a very common drink over there. So if you ever see kvass in the store, that's what it is. Okay, there we are. The reason to wear the hat in the sun, it gets 200 degrees. So if you're sitting near the top shelf there, the top platform, it gets really, really hot. So you're supposed to wear this hat on your head. So, and then after the sauna, then you go into this room where they have this bucket of cold water. You pull a rope, and this ice cold water jumps on you. Hell did that. I did it. And then after you're all done here, then you go outside, and you cross the street, and you jump in the Dnipro River. This is a river that goes all the way through Ukraine, and it's cold. Al didn't want to do it that night. I think he was fighting a cold, or at least that's what he said.
No,
he was sick.
I was in my right mind.
But the guy said, Dennis, this is Ukrainian, Russian. You're full Russian if you do this. Okay. So I'm stupid enough to do it. So I go up on the pier. The first time I walked in from the shore, and I dove in, and yay, and they're clapping, they're all happy. And then the second time, I went out there, they said, no, you got to jump off the pier. So like an idiot, I jump off the pier, and I thought it was like 4 feet deep. It was way over my head. So I'm going like this, and it's like 33 degrees. I'm cold. And I just heard on the news yesterday, a guy did that in Milwaukee, and he died. He jumped in the cold water. And Pam says, yeah, you were stupid. But I wanted to bond with him. There we are. Okay. And this is typical transportation. Doesn't it look like the 1950s? I mean, that's very typical. And loud and dirty. And then they have some modern ones, too. But this is a typical train. And another hike. And that's the Dnipro River, and that goes all the way down from Kiev. Kiev is about 5 hours north if you drove it, a little northwest, but it's the same river that goes right through Kiev. And the city is on both sides of the river. Like I said, it's a million people, so it's a big city. Wrap it up here real quick. Okay, and this is game time. At the end of every night, then they had a social time for the kids to play board games and that type of thing. And there's McDonald's. We went there almost every night after our whole thing was done. Jenny said, you guys hungry? Want to go eat? Okay, but we don't want to stay up late, so we go to McDonald's. So that's the menu. Very good. And that was my bed. We had a little room, but it was warm. We had that little space heater, and they kept the room warm. In the kitchen, not so much. Where a table was, we'd go out there and have breakfast, and you had to keep your coat on and stuff. But in the bedroom, you had this little electric, was it a water heater?
Yeah, just electric water heater.
And then our room would get in and be toasted.
This is a Baptist church, and if they turned the heat on, it would cost them about $1,500 a month to heat the two buildings. And the church only heated the church on Sunday. The rest of the time, everything, the gas is just too expensive.
Yeah. And that's our kitchen table. in those, they had the heaters there, but the heat wasn't turned on. Right. So, I mean, we've got 20 degrees at night. You can imagine what these rooms are like. And that's our spacious bathroom and our shower. But at least we had hot water. You know, I've been to Ukraine a couple times, and sometimes if you're taking a shower, all of a sudden that water's ice cold. Not so here. I mean, they had a good heater. So that was a real blessing to have a shower every day. Oh, you might want to comment on the bakery, Al.
Well, we got tired of eating, what was that, cereal? What was, my wife likes it. I don't know. It's cardboard ground up in a bowl. But it's Misnick?
Muselik.
We ate it every morning with a banana for, I don't know, a week and a half. And I finally said, there's got to be a bakery around. And we saw this bakery across the street from the restaurant. And you go down four steps, go in this little bakery. So we hiked down there in the morning. It was a nice walk downhill. And we get there, and it was they served cappuccino and a bakery. And so we did not starve. I gained 5 pounds on the trip. We ate good.
Okay, I see our time is up, Paul, so maybe we'll go a little bit into Sunday school because we have a lot more to share today. Okay?
Please.
All right, thank you very much.
You can ask your questions during the...
Should we stand then and finish up our worship